very conscious that we thank for what we've been doing. Today, we are having a presentation for alms day. And just briefly about the background to alms day. Honorable Bloom, you remember that the alms day was formed long time ago, and that the alms formation was a decision which was taken consciously by the holder of bonds in the 80s. Now, this was shortly after the Ugandan tribe, and you had turmoil in the township, and there was a situation with the formation of the armed wing of the bank police and public in the country. Now, in order for the government of today, that time, to ensure that it will be able to stand any onslaught from outside, they began to establish in order to be able to do it. And then you remember in the late 60s that the United Nations took a decision against Africa and caused sanctions against the country. So at that time there was no way to resolve Africa to be able to acquire arms in the nation. So they had to build their own capacity from within. Now, as a result, in the very early 60s, the Ruger bombs in Bakfontein, the farm next to Hartenjes were down, took a decision that they will establish this type of entity for that particular people. Now, we remember that the U.S. at that time, the best function and tried their best to assist this country to reach its optimum in terms of armament production. Now, our quest is to ensure that this type of entities are actually transformed and that they serve in time, and that the demography of this type of entities begins to change, and that whatever weapons which are being produced, they are produced with the purpose of defending and not offending other neighboring countries and so on. So, today, our colleagues would be giving us more information about their agenda to transform, and also the challenges they have, and the level at which they are able to take Chief, you might introduce your identity. Can you introduce yourself? Thank you.
General Mukau. I've been appointed as a important organization also. And I'll ask the colleagues to introduce themselves, starting from my right.
My name is Anadi, the acting CEO of AMSCA.
My name is
Wilson Mosirako, Non-Executive Director. Elias Yukovo Polone, Non-Executive Director and Chairperson of Oregon Red Committee.
Verushka September, Non-Executive Director.
Ralph Mukijima, Executive Director of the Board.
Secondly, Chairperson, I want to say that this report
considered as before. The Auditor General has reported audited the books of the corporation. And therefore, the books of the corporation will not necessarily be audited and verified by the Auditor General. And therefore, I would like to plead with you that in earnest, the discussion about the state of affairs of the corporation would have actually been better off if the books were audited by the Auditor General. Yeah. So we would like to present that fact also for the consideration of the committee. Otherwise, honorable members, introduce you. May I now ask the acting chief executive of the corporation to present the report.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, I'll go immediately to present the report. I'll start by presenting the scope of the report. I'll start with the aim, and then the background. Within the background, I'll deal with the structure, the issue of governance, the mandate of council, and then move on to deal with the strategic focus. And under the strategic focus, I'll deal with the funding and growth, the human resource, the capabilities, and I'll deal with the broad base, like economic empowerment, the stakeholders relationship, support of the local industry, the operational efficiency, and then deal with the corporate performance as indicated by the share that is the corporate performance of the year 2010-2011. And the corporate performance, I'll deal with the corporate goals and the finance. And then I move on to look at the challenges, which would be the CEO's appointment process, the A400M Airbus project, funding challenges of the corporation, and then the litigation method. And then finally, I'll then deal with the strategic positioning. Chair, the aim is to give the background of AMCO, the strategic plan, the performance, and the challenges of the organization. Just to give the background, I'll start with the position of AMCO in terms of within the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans, where is AMCO position? Within the ministry, you find that there are three categories or three units. AMCO being one of them, and then the Department of Defense, the Department of Military Affairs. Within AMCO, the AMCO, of course, the chairman of the AMCO, who's heading the AMCO Board of Directors, and then within the Department of Defense, the Secretary for Defense, the Chief of the SNDF, and then within the Department of Military Veterans, the Director General of the Military Department. Just to deal with the Chair of Government, AMCO is a designated acquisition agency for the DOD. It exists as a result of the Military Corporation Act No. 51 of 2003, and it is governed and controlled by the Board of Directors. The majority is the responsibility of the accounting authority of AMCO, as well as the independent material in the whole. AMCO in terms of the schedule 2, it's in terms of PMA, AMCO is schedule 2, a public entity, which means that AMCO is supposed to have a shareholder compact in accordance with section 39.2 related key performance measurement, as well as indicators that are created with the AMCO also is supposed to prepare a 3-year plan, which is a corporate plan, in terms of the section 29.9 of the strategic objectives, where in that corporate plan, AMCO is supposed to have the strategic objectives, the key performance areas, the risk management, the financial plan, etc. Also, it is supposed to report quarterly. AMCO also is supposed to have a service level agreement with the Department of Defense. The mandate of AMCO is to acquire defense material on behalf of the DOD,
manage the technology project and supplier by the Department of Defense, provide for quality assurance capability, establish a system for tender and contract management, dispose of obsolete and redundant defense material, establish a compliance administration system, also support, maintain, support and maintain such strategic and essential defense disaster capabilities, resources and technologies identified by the Department of Defense. AMSCO has also to provide defense operational assistance, establish the defense industrial participation program management system, provide marketing support to defense related industries, and also manage the facilities identified by the Department of Defense. Just to indicate also that the functions that the AMSCO does in order to get the mandate. It is categorized into AMSCO, which is doing application, and then AMSCO Defense Institute, which is doing test, evaluation, and whatever, that way. Then, of course, the AMSCO token. In terms of AMSCO, the institution that is doing application, the function to acquire defense material on behalf of the Department of Defense, many technology projects that are required by the Department of Defense, provide for quality assurance capability, establish standard and contract management, both of standard access or preparation criteria, establish and comply with administration system, establish defense industrial participation program management system, provide marketing support to defense related industry. For the other division of AMSCO that is responsible for research, test, and evaluation is supposed to provide defense operational research, manage facilities identified as strategic by the Department of Defense. And then we've got another division that is doing support and maintenance for the South African team, which is AMS or Dodgers. To deal with the strategic focus, I'll start with indicating the strategic objectives that we set ourselves as an organization. Starting with funding and growth, people and capabilities, capability, empowerment, stakeholder relations, local industry support, operational efficiency. As indicated by the chair, this is the first initiative of funding, which is the review at the bottom of the board to facilitation to the issue. NFT is available for general to integrate the chief and the state and the state. Starting with the first strategic initiative, which is funding and growth. The strategic initiative seeking to deal with the challenge of insufficient funds and the major funds, and how the strategy is to address the challenge. We have developed the cost model and the cost management model. We have also looked at the growth and incoming debt generation with the intention of exploiting commercial opportunities. The development of the cost model and the implementation of that model, we are at a point where that has been completed and is being used as a visa of the capacity for the funding that is required. And we will complete the first model by the end of 2011. In terms of the dockyard, the operationalization of the dockyard and including exploiting commercialization opportunities that has been done by the international operation finance strategy has been developed. At the moment, we are looking at the business plan to be developed. The second strategic initiative, which is the human resource or the capability. The strategic initiative looking at addressing the challenge of loss or the erosion of skills in the organization as a result of retirement, resignation, helicopter challenge and the fire to attack it. And how the strategy fits to address the strategic gap of the human resources is by looking at attracting the required skills, looking at the development and training, or looking at how to retain those skills, also looking at the methods of the employee satisfaction to ensure that the skills are retained. And also, within the strategy to look at the transition plan, as well as looking at the transferring of skills that the people or our employees have to do. The human resource strategy is developed to focus on the following: to position AMCO as an employer of choice, to create a position of a quality of a traditional partner, to transform the organization, send the supplementary action as well as the what support is required from AMCO. for the local industry is very possible by developing a defense mechanism in that industry. Just implement that is also with the aim to implement the five. We'll come up also with an integrated strategy where we want to look at the integration that the triple BDP, the supply development, as well as the transformation of the also include issues of community and competitive. In that project, we support at this point in time for recognition as well as the different community that supports the marketing of the local. In terms of the strategic initiative number 6, which is operational efficiency, this will address the challenge of operational inefficiency, where we're faced with the situation of the outdated IT application system, the lack of alignment of our processes, a lack of integration, as well as the lack of efficiency measures, and how the objective is to address the system to improve the productivity, improve efficiency, as well as the integration of processes and alignment. By doing so, we intend to also ensure that the productivity management system is being developed. We need also to look at the IT and IM strategic plan. We need to look at the IT strategy. At this point in time, the short-term actions have been implemented. We're building the benchmarking of similar organizations to ensure that we look at the best practices in the world and also look at the cost of the IT system that is required for the organization that is we're looking at similar organizations. We're looking at AMCO calendar, which has been developed, with the aim of ensuring that we achieve more integrated the corporate performance, as indicated earlier on, that is due to the corporate performance of the year 2010-2011. The terms of the performance is indicated by the chairman of AMCO, that the qualified ability is not good. It should be more like a preliminary report. In terms of our corporate goals, most of our corporate goals we are achieving, and in some cases, in terms of our financial situation, the group realizes that we are not going to be able to do that. In terms of the projects that we are managing on behalf of the DOD, all the projects we have defined are the projects of the program. And now we are at the very end of the project phase. These are the tests and operational tests and evaluation. That's the focus. We look at the major ones such as the project of the system, the feasibility of if you look at the major terms of the submarine as well as the contract, the final stage of the operational test and evaluation. In terms of the Airbus A110 project, that was terminated. The other special defense accounts are going to be done as well, while the program that is a ground-based system, GPS, as well as the Hoi-Fal project, which experienced a delay. However, Chair then called out the delay, but now we have the system with the looking at AMCO financial overview of 2010-2011, that the audit is not yet complete. The total revenue increased by 10.9%, which is 1.9 billion rand. The net asset value increased to 3.2% to 533.7 million due to surplus realized. Capital investment of 43.6 million, which includes transfer of social to book assets. To maintain operational system of computer and equipment, which is available. I think it's worth emphasizing again here that our cost, in terms of the cost breakdown, the employee later cost remains the highest cost line, sitting at 35% at the point. The AMCO 2011-2010 financial overview. The total AMCO operating budget is 932.4 million rand. The transfer payment 720 million rand. The other income is 187.3 million rand. With a shortfall of 25 million rand. Strategic program address the funding challenge. The group has the efficiency saving to be done. Doing many times the strategy to ensure available funding once they deliver to the taken area on operation of the funding model. Customize the function of NGA funding required to perform a data function. And the update and review of the service level agreement with the viewers. Then for the challenges, first one being the appointment of the appointment process of the three-row new AMCO board has been appointed for this to be finalized by the new board of directors. At that point, the chair will then be recommended to the board as a head group. So this is the title. In terms of the Airbus 410 status, is the following. If you recall that in November 2009, the contract of Airbus was terminated. The prepaid payment due to AMCO was supposed to have been paid in January 2010. We had several meetings with the Airbus demanding payment, telling that the state needs to support the delay payment of that prepaid amount. But that initially Airbus was taking the right of determination to a point where they ended up agreeing with us that this would be the contract, it would be the right of us to terminate. Thereafter, they also presented the issue of linking the paycheck contract to the offset contract. And in terms of the contract, it is clearly stated that those are two contracts, that they're both contracts. And now they're considered to attract as well that they are two contracts. And we have to the other main factor also was the issue of ensuring that we have to negotiate and discuss with Airbus to ensure that the contract requirements are met. The board chair that all the requirements in terms of the termination of the contract have been met by us, and that has been agreed also by Airbus. Instead of paying us the long term as stated and in accordance with the contract, in which, in accordance with the contract, we'll be going for arbitration. volunteer also that indicates that in terms of the healthy air capability, the existence of the requirement was confirmed before the ventilation or ventilation. Alternatives were considered for short-term provision of the disability. The long-term strategy was agreed to. It was agreed that the review of the requirement will be done by the South African Airport, as well as the fact that approved requirements follow the process of application. So in terms of the funding challenges, the challenge of inadequate funding, insufficient funding was required to be released. The action plan to deal with the challenge. We have developed a position to educate the solution. We have also developed the costing model. AMCO and DOT want to finalize the more detailed service development agreement. And we agree on a appropriate funding model also to deal with that. Also, improve efficiency, as well as also be exercised in the case of area. Some challenges of other divisions of AMCO, such as the Bologna. The South African Navy capability requires additional funding have been done. The process of the capability one of the requirements has been made. And based on that, we realize that there's a gap. So we need to look at also increasing the human resources to address the gap in the requirements. But also there's a requirement to renew facilities. In terms of the action plan to address those requirements, the case with the chief of the race as well as the department. The additional funding requirement included the additional funding requirements was included in the treasure of the funding requirement that is compiled by the Department of Defense. AMCO Defense Institute, which is also the other institute that is being provided for the health and evaluation, to deal with the issue of supervision funding, the action plan, with the group of the ability of management to look at the strategy to achieve the range given, that has been several completed as well, and also they are looking at the funding model that needs to be applied. The other area of the challenge of the chair is the litigation method to review through the litigation method of the fact that each of the contracts pertaining to the value at a check. In terms of just the feedback, AMCO has approached the staff for a ruling as to whether the input back which has been done and that of all that AMCO cannot play on the account. And it is alleged by the company that it is Kobotum. AMCO is at the moment awaiting the response of Kobotum on the ruling. An exception against the particulars of claim raised by AMCO was admitted, and the ruling in favor of AMCO was made. Plaintiffs recommended they are particular of claims that it is currently being considered by us. And the other one is that the civil court response, Beverly Inclusion. This is a claim for a commission based on the agency relationship on assessing that happened in the 1980s. So far, preliminary the hearing was scheduled. The civil court, which is supposed to take place in the we are still waiting now to hear from the court to respond in terms of the case of the new board of AMCO, which has been appointed. we'll be having a strategic session to plan for the 15th of plan for the 14th and the 15th of July.
I'd like to welcome the presentation of the of AMCO. I just have a few questions. My first question is on page 12, people and capabilities. Certainly, I think when the board and whoever is coming to a committee would like to see this data, mostly on the challenges of loss, erosion of skills, retirement, so that we know what are the statistics that are there, how many have left and how many and what, how to, when you say we want to address the some of these things and say, what do we have currently, we want to see that. And my second question is on page 28. On proposed repayment schedule, we understand that this Airbus 400 issue is coming for a long time. Now, I just want to check with the committee that last time there were a promise for installment repayment, but now I see now proposed repayment schedule again. That is agreed on 5 schedule payments from January 2011 to December 2012, at the very same page as we, on the last bullet said, letter of demand sent by arms for demand repayment in 15 days. How is this going to be possible? Because this comes from 2009, not 2010, almost a year that there is no refund. Now, how is the board going to deal now with this
15 days? Is it possible that something like this can happen? Thank you, Chair. Chair, you're welcome. The presentation is, of course, the new board. And I must say that the board has got its work cut out for it. Because as I'm getting the background, it's not that it has been tough for trying to live up to the work that is given to it. Chair, I would like first to understand the inheritance of who are the shareholders of AMCO. That's the first one, Chair. The second one is you talk here of a disposal of redundant upfield material. I can't remember where you dispose it. Do you have a place for disposal of it? Because we don't want to find ourselves like more addiction. That is true. I heard something about all not being completed. And I also heard the chairperson of the board talking about something about the auditor general. I just want to clarify all that. Are you not audited by the election? Do you do auditing in-house? I just want clarity on that. I just want that to be clarified. And lastly, Chair, on the dockyard. On the same dockyard. Maybe this question I should be asking to the department. But I just wanted to check how many dockyards are there, who services these dockyards, and what is the plan of AMSCOR in terms of making sure that these dockyards are able to work and serve the lady. Because one, I do not understand why it is that the dockyards are managed by AMSCOR, and yet we have the sense that is not clear to me. I'll stop there for now. Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. I have a number of areas that I'd like to cover, but I'd like to start with the Airbus A400M. And I have four questions. The first is, what is the total amount owing, including interest, to date? What was the total amount per installment in terms of your proposed schedule of payment? And then also, you say that Airbus have now reverted to Arms Corp and are once again attempting to link the two contracts, in other words, the purchase and the offset. Would I be correct in inferring from that essentially Airbus military are threatening us with, if we terminate, they will withdraw work packages? Would it be correct to infer that from your presentation? And then finally, was there any attempt by Airbus military to link the Airbus A400N project and the termination thereof with the acquisition of commercial aircraft?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to everybody present here. My name is Dennis Bloom. Chairperson, my question will go back on the transformation of AMSCOR. That's the first thing that I'm interested in, because I served in this committee for 17 years. That was a very serious problem in AMSCOR. I want to know, Chairperson. I see that they are saying that they have transformed in one of their pages. But I want them to give us a breakdown on senior and junior level in AMSCOR. That is the first thing. The board itself is a new board now. Can they give us a breakdown on the racial composition or profile of the new board? Chairperson, I know for the fact there was serious tension between the old CEO, Tom, and the board. I want to know now what is the relationship now between the board and the acting CEO. And coming to the acting CEO, when will this process? I see that at your last page you are saying that a new CEO will be appointed. When? Thank you very much, Chair, for now.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first apologize. I wasn't late.
I went to the wrong way.
Yeah, I was sitting there from 5 to 8 up to until 1 a.m.
Chairperson, my point here is that I see that the institution is talking about insufficient funds to execute the mandate. Now, what I need to understand, because if you go through the work of the institution, it is expected to be an income generating institution, though it is a non-profit making institution. So I want to know that the monies that they acquire in the work or the service that they provide, what happens to the money, and if the money is deposited to Treasury, is Treasury not able to ensure that money transferred to the institution, is money able to assist the institution to operate? My next question, Chairperson, goes to the BBE. They talk about developing a broad-based economic empowerment strategy in line with the department. Now, this policy of the BBE is a policy which is more than 10 years old. And if it is only now that we are looking for a strategy to put it in operation, for me, it is unacceptable unless I get a clear explanation as of why the strategy is only planned now. Now, the other part, Chairperson, is the part where they are unable to attract skilled people. Is it because of their salary competency that is unable to attract skilled employees? What is it, if we can have an explanation around that? Because as a company in the developing economy, your problems are more decided by whether you also compete in the salary bracket of the industry.
Delegation to go to France for the Minister of Defense
both in a board capacity. And we have since met them, and they indicated to us that the issue really was not about the money, that Airbus can pay the money overnight if needed. But the issue was trying to lock us into some sort of a relationship, which Airbus thought was very important. But we have since that meeting, during that meeting, we got an undertaking that Airbus was now going to pay, and then our minister met the Minister of Defense of France, who actually made an undertaking to the minister that he would ensure that Airbus pays money. The giving of an undertaking is a legal requirement. If you have to force somebody to do something, you must actually send a letter of demand. And that letter of demand often all of the things that the secretary and the chief executive is saying. So we want to believe that the issue of Airbus will be actually be finalized in them soon. I should also address the issue of whether Airbus was in any way tightening the work package. Indeed, that's what Airbus was saying. Unfortunately for Airbus, Airbus didn't actually link those work packages to the contract, or neither did we as AMSCO also link the two. So every late hour, Airbus was tightening. And we are very much aware that these are not linked. Airbus has been trying by all means to lock us into those work packages. The reason being that the contracts are actually independent contracts, and Airbus can be sued independent for those work packages. And we are not really worried about it. So because Dinel and LSU will exercise options which they have, either sue or whatever to on those contracts or demand that they help us lead to the contract. So we think they were indeed doing that. I'll leave to the CEO would actually give the question of the amount and which were paid for help us and what they intended to pay in those in that schedule of payment. Which I'll hasten to say, as I tried to explain, that in our meeting with them, we didn't actually say that we would like them to pay in installments, as I would say. We indicated to them that they must pay in terms of the contract, that they should pay the payment. We are in the process of sending a letter which notes our meeting, and that we expect that the payment will be soon in terms of the agreement. And we hope that they will this time honor the agreement which we have with them. The other question which I think my colleagues will ask is who are the shareholders of AMCO? AMCO, the shareholders of AMCO is none other than the state itself. And the state is represented by the executive which is cabinet. One way of working, cabinet has decided to allocate certain ministers as representatives of shareholders, and therefore the Minister of Defense has been appropriately made the shareholder and is the sole in the last balance of he represents the majority shareholder, and he emphasizes the authority. In terms of the tax, it's referred to as the executive authority of the president. I should say that the redundant materials for the disposal, all I want to say is the chief executive and other political heads, but I just want to say that the disposal here should be understood in the process, not only in the destruction of ammunition and all something, but also the selling of obsolete systems which we do not want, that is also included in the disposal.
of the Secretary. If it's the Auditor General, the TFMA required the corporation to appoint auditor. And the TFMA opens a window for the corporation also to nominate to be audited by the Auditor General, and that means the corporation has done. We are actually audited by the Auditor General. He is the external auditor, as it were, of the corporation. The document. The decision to put the dockyard under arms for a taken by the Department of Defense after a very long consideration of the impact of the dockyard and its management. And it was decided that it is a strategic institution of the Department of Defense and that it should be managed in a particular way, and therefore it was allocated as it were. Provided for by the Act that this is a strategic issue which has to be next time. And that's the reason why we are actually doing this. you talk about the transformation of arms to the breakdown. I would say that if we're talking about transformation in the broadcast, we think we are going to address that in our country. But I see here the question was only narrowing to the personnel, or, you know, the demographics of personnel in our both at senior and junior level. I think we are going to answer that. The board racial profile is what that.
It is a very well represented board. We have,
I think, in terms of gender representation, of the three members of the board being
what we call female.
And we have one vice president on the board, which was last.
Captain of the Defense of the board, and they were both there
after the board. That is the racial profile. So it is really a balanced board with different skills, people with different skills, and we think we are very convinced that this board will be able to be practical. And in this board, we will try to educate people. I think we have a three doctors. The doctors are not exactly if you want to look you at them. So we think we are a really well balanced board. The relationship of the board with the CEO, we have, as a new board, we have learned to regret the, you know, the relationship of the previous board with the Secretary. We think we're with a very good relationship with the Secretary or with the Act. And we want to believe that it is a normal relationship which is required to the corporation has to perform its mandate. If we think we are not, I'm sure you are not, but we think we do. The appointment of the new CEO, the board is sitting on the 6th of July, where this matter is going to be addressed. We pray and hope that we will be able to finalize the issue. And if not, we will be able to report to this honorable committee. That is not why we do that, but we want to believe that we have that issue on the agenda, and that the board will consider it. further than I would say, ask the chief executive in a way to answer to the question of insufficient funds and the reason that the ANSCO was supposed to generate one. But I think this is critical to the strategic question. It's actually looking at the mission of ANSCO. Our analysis of the mission of ANSCO requires of us to look broadly at the role of ANSCO. ANSCO has actually focused itself and almost turned it into a buying office for the Department of Defense. So we would like to go back in our strategic work session and look broadly at the mandate of ANSCO and look at strategies of actually leading to that that mission of ANSCO. And ANSCO as a company is expected that when it has surplus funds, actually it should be regarded as net income or whatever. And therefore, the money which we have should therefore be subjected to the decision of the shareholder. And that's how it works. If the shareholder decides that they will pay it back to Treasury, then we'll pay back to Treasury, if that eventually comes to arrive. And therefore, I would appeal to the members to be a little bit patient with us on this issue, because we are actually going to address this in the coming weeks.
That was proposed by the
issue of interest was based on the fact that the main effort would have paid some. They would have realized that there would be interest accrued as of, according to the TSF and the contract, January, because at the time when the contract was paid, this amount is January 2010. Chair, the other one would be the issue of a proposal that person took action. Which is a normal process that when we deal with the capabilities that we acquire for the DOD, whatever capabilities they are, we have to acquire them, commission them, maintain and repair and service them. And then finally, the final stage of those systems would be how to dispose of them. Dispose of them, it could be disposal of them in terms of destroying them, it could be in terms of the beyond the economic level of repair. But if they are not, then they can be upgraded. If they're not upgraded, then this is fine, but they're going to be sold. If they can still be used by other suppliers. So you'll find that disposal is encompassed with a number of ways we should dispose of these people. But we dispose them in accordance with the requirements that have just indicated that it is a requirement that if they be destroyed, they will destroy in accordance with the requirements as the intention. If they are to be sold, then it means that we have an agreement with the Department of Defense in terms of how they want to do that system or equipment to be disposed of. The other one that I'm going to touch on is the docking. In terms of who is docking and I'm purchasing, the primary function of the docking is to serve the South African Navy. In the event that it is excess capacity, then that capacity will be looked at commercializing the capacity with the aim of ensuring that they get an additional income to complement the income of the function of the doctor. The issue of the insufficient funding in doctor, as I indicated earlier on, that if you look at the doctor, which is under here, obviously, we find a situation where most of the equipment in the project needs to be renewed because they are old. So what we are talking about is the renewal of the equipment in the project, where it be linked with the IT equipment, whatever equipment that we have used to upgrade the equipment, giving us a position to function and to find the prices of African land in rendering the place. Also, if we look at the project as we took it over from you realize that that was during the time when the South African Navy was procuring most of the systems. So was less maintenance and repair that needed to be done. But if you look at the situation in which we are, most of the systems now, they have reached the level of what you call the steady state of maintaining the whole system, meaning that they are over the warranty period that we need to maintain. So if you look at the capability that is required, the kind of work that the Navy is supposed to be doing now versus the capability that we have, we are saying there's a gap. That gap now results itself into an additional requirement, an additional funding requirement that is required to close that gap to be able to capacitate the doctor in terms of human resources that are required to be able to maintain the additional work that the Navy now has having to deal with because of the operationalization. And dealing with the other one, which is the breakdown of the transformation. Yeah, I must say that it's unfortunate that we don't have the breakdown of the information right now. I would like to quote the information about the cap. But I can promise that that can be provided to this committee. But take note of that first. I would rather please to do that so that we get the accurate figures so rather than just the figures that are coming from the government. In terms of that will address also the issue of the breakdown of the HR in terms of the finding of the racial composition in the fire, and also dealing with the issue of the different levels. one with potential with the CEO, compared with the
you have to be there for
I'm not sure if just cost saving is not contributing in a matter which you relate as a problem for attracting skilled employees. Now, the other part, Chairperson, which for me is not pleasing, when the Chairperson of the Board responded to most of the questions, he always referred to the strategic session, which has to decide on those matters. And he refers to that strategic session, giving us an impression that there has never been a board in AMSCO, and therefore it requires the board to go to a strategic session in order to address most of the questions that we have posed. Now, on the matter of the Airbus, the contract was terminated in the year 2009. And the first payment was due in 2010. In my small little brain, if a person owes me money, and the period of payment exceeds the time of agreement, I have a right to inform this person of the implications which will affect the debt, and some of which will be whether is this money developing interest or is it sitting as a debt as it was known at the initial stage, as it was sent to Airbus. Our letter has been written to indicate our intention that this money is developing some interest. Or are we just sitting because we are also not in the right to challenge Airbus in terms of our repayment of the money that we have paid? I think those are some of the critical questions that we need. But also, possibly it could also help us if we have a little understanding of the conditions of purchase and the conditions of termination of the contract. It can assist us. We may even not ask this question any longer if we know what are the difficulties for us getting our money back. Thank you, Chairman.
Yeah, Chairperson, yeah, just to follow up on what Mr. Mazia said, you see, I've also noted when the Chairperson, the new Chairperson of the Board, responded, you will always refer to the strategic work session. And I'm not happy with that. Let me tell you why. It's 17 years. I have asked a specific question on transformation. You see, Chairperson, window dressing does not help. You see, what I am going to the heart of AMSCO. You see, you will find that there is. Let me put the red thing here. There is a black layer there. But you see, the people that make decisions are still the people that you have referred to. You see, your opening remark was very good. And we must be very careful that we are not being kept into that old apartheid mode and saying that not Mkhwanazi is there. But I know that other people are making rules and regulations and taking decisions there. I want to know the transformation
And please, they must give us that list. Okay, Honorable Blue. I appreciate your question, but don't point that to anything. Don't point that to anything.
I will withdraw my finger, but not what I have said. Only my finger.
Thank you, Chair. I have one follow-up question and three additional questions. My follow-up question is again in respect of the Airbus A400. My question was, what is the total amount owing to date, including interest? The total amount owing prior to, the total amount owing in January 2010 was presumably 2.9 billion, but interest has accrued. So what is the total amount owing to date, inclusive of interest due? That's the follow-up question. Then I'd like to get on to three additional questions. The first is on appointments. Now, we've spoken about the appointment of the CEO, but since we last met, the chairperson, Mr. General Mojo Matau, has been appointed by the minister. Now, in terms of that process, I understand in terms of the Article legislation, Section 14 would require the chairperson to make a disclosure if indeed there was any conflict of interest. But my question is to the chairperson is, do you have any business interests? If so, are any of those business interests defense related? And if so, did you make a disclosure, or have you made a disclosure, or do you intend to make a disclosure in terms of Section 14 of the Act? Because it is a matter of public record that you do have business interest in a company called Nala Holdings and perhaps other companies. That's the first question. The second question concerns the appointment of the Chief Executive Officer. That appointment is ongoing, I understand. I'd like to know the names of the shortlisted candidates for the position of Chief Executive Officer of Arms Corp. Then finally, I'd like to get on to one acquisition project. Because, Chair, the heart of Arms Corp seems to me is acquisition. But the one thing Parliament does not seem to concern itself with is the whole process of what exactly the Department of Defense are acquiring, what the relevant projects are, what the purpose of those projects are, and what the status of those projects are. Billions of rand is spent every year on acquiring new material for the Department of Defense, and yet the Parliament does not concern itself with acquisition. That, I believe, is something that we should look at as members of Parliament. But let me come to the acquisition that I have a particular interest in, and that is the acquisition of VIP jets. You will recall that the departments are in the process of, I believe, acquiring two new VIP jets at the cost of 800 million rand. Now, it's not clear whether those jets are being acquired or leased, and it's not clear to me what role Encore are playing in this project. Now, I wonder if you would be able to tell me whether Encore has played a role in either acquiring or leasing the VIP jets. If so, what that role is, and if so, what the current status of that project.
Yes, this morning we to this point in time we have discussed numerous issues regarding the Airbus and the dockyards of the Navy. And at this stage, you know, I get the feeling that we ignore a bit what's going on in the South African Army. Because years ago, not very long ago, a lot of money was integrated into the army, and we were also aware that in 1994-95 when we started with the process of buying aircraft and the naval equipment, we worked on a stockpile system because the army will be stripped from project until the completion of the Air Force and Navy procurement process, then the army will come the next in line to be upgraded. So I don't know if you'll be able to give me the answer that I'm going to ask, but maybe at a future session we need also to address this issue. Now we have quite a lot of sophisticated equipment in our army. We're referring to the very cut armored car, the G6, the Elephant Mark 3 battle tank. We have a lot of good engineers equipment for enhancing mobility for our land oriented forces. But my question is, are we in a position at this stage, from armed force point of view, to really upgrade, to maintain, and to keep this equipment in a position that when we need them, so that we can employ them, and do we have sufficient capabilities to support the training units so that we can train our soldiers to be 100% battle prepared to whenever we must be employed to do this equipment?
There was a mention of research, and I just wanted to check on research. What is it that UNCO is doing? And researching on what? Second mission, and I just want to check. What are the strategic facilities of the department? Are they in that armed for its dealing? And lastly, on the litigation matters. You are told of the two litigation matters. But I am more interested in the civil court in this. What does that entail? And why is this coming up now? It's talking about 1980s. What does this entail? And why has UNCO not dealt with this all of this time? I just wanted to check. Because to me, that's something else that is tipping or beating on the kitty of UNCO. Thank you.
A lot of problems, but
redundant people like WIPO, for instance. Which countries, if they're still able to be told, which countries are they being told? Good countries, or the countries which are difficult to know.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one question. One of the things that the department informed us previously, Chair, was that in the peacekeeping mission, which are UN supported, there are problems with the equipment that makes us fail to sort of meet the standards of the UN subsidized, therefore affecting our way of claiming the reimbursement as far as the equipment that is employed for this mission. So if there is any work that AMCO is involved with in as far as that is concerned, and what kind of work that they are involved.
Yeah, Chief, you can go ahead. Thank you.
Captain, thank you. Thank you very much. Lots more.
I've have missed something that I wanted to say before. Captain, I always go through classified on the newspaper. I don't recall seeing an advert from AMCO. Opposition. Now, I wanted to know what method do they use in advertising their posts? Is it a specific paper that one has to buy to encourage people to read that paper to see their adverts?
Well, thank you very much once more for this difficult question, which we shall attempt to answer in this. Let me start with the broad question which is creating unhappiness among the honorable members. Honorable members, we indeed feel pleased with you to bear with us. We are a new board. We know that when you take over, you take assets and liabilities of companies. We are liable for the previous board activities. We indeed are, and we do not want to disassociate ourselves. Secondly, we think this board was built on the strength of the previous board, and all the proper decisions and decisions which we think are going to help us, we are ready to take forward. We are not going to disassociate of this task, whatever the board, the previous board has been doing. When I started the chapter, I said that when this board was constituted, the Minister of Defense as the shareholder specifically tasked this board with the task of repositioning AMCO. And that is the recognition of AMCO requirement, which has actually led us to make certain decisions as a board that we need to consider quite a number of aspects. And that aspects I've referred to, we are not trying to whitewash them. And I've made an undertaking to this August committee that we will definitely come back to you, and we want you to hold us to our way. That we will indeed come back to you to report our strategy.
So because it is important for us, even where as we the previous board has made certain decisions, it is important for us to actually chart a way forward for this board in order to live in the expectations of the shareholders. And I therefore want to see this honorable committee to bear with us. Yeah, we going to answer the question of the loss of personnel, and we thought the chief executive has explained the programs which we are engaged in. And I think I'll leave that again to the auditing of our financials. The auditor general at the end of the financial year takes our books to audit, and I am aware that our audit this committee has actually met the auditor general, who promised that he would be going through our books expeditiously, and we will get the report. Because by law, after the financial year, within 6 months, we need to report to the shareholder of the outcome of the audit, and give the shareholders a whole final report. And we also are still waiting to go to that meeting where we're going to give the final report to the shareholders. But I think the chief executive will have to go also. 75% the chief executive will deal with that. And the capacities which we speak use of raising the funds, I think my secretary would deal with those factors. Indeed, Alcanpan and other facilities of ANCO are very useful as fundraising, but the testing of weapon systems from other people is an important source of Chairperson, I hope the chief executive has understood the question of the type of companies we are dealing with. I did myself pick it up what is the thrust of that question. But I hope the chief executive has understood that. The same question of people who have taken packages and they are coming back as consultants for us. The chief executive will deal with that. The relationship with the Secretary for Defense and the Chief Engineer. Just as we want to say that this is a relationship which is first and foremost based on the law mandated by the Act. The Chief of the South African National Defense Force and the Secretary within the ambit of the DOD are the statutory clients of the corporation. They don't have a choice of being our clients. They are our clients in terms of and therefore, as our main clients, it is incumbent on us to try and cultivate a very productive and good relationship with our clients. And we think so far ourselves, when they come to this organ body, I'm sure this person can simply ask. From our side, we think the relationship so far is quite a very productive and useful relationship. Because we are bound together. We cannot choose them. They cannot choose us. We are bound together by them. The cost saving contributing to lack of skills, that is too expensive to deal with. We thought what we have said that in a contract which we signed with Airbus, there are certain mechanisms which are built in terms of dispute resolution, in terms of cancellation, in terms of actual payment. All these things are actually within the contract. And on our side, we might have been seen to be taking our time or dragging our feet in doing that, but we have to follow all the steps because arbitration is the last of those steps. We have to follow through all of them, write letters, we've done that. We have gone to meetings with them in order to satisfy the principles of the contract which we have. There is no way in which we could be addressing our fleet. We have informed Airbus that the 2.9 billion rand is a contingency liability on the books of the of AMSCO. Therefore, if it is a contingency, that AMSCO must provide for that contingency. We do not have that type of money to do that. And we have therefore demanded that they pay us the money back so that we can pay what we owe, because we are owing the state for that money. And therefore, we are doing everything in our power as the contracting party to try and get the money back. There is no dragging of feet in that respect. And I want to assure the committee that we do put the case very clearly to Airbus. We are contracting parties, and therefore, what the contract stipulates is what we did, which is our performance. So there is no way in which we would, unless I get it wrong, the infinity, there is no way in which we see ourselves as a junior party in this contract. We are equal parties, and therefore we will review it. 17 years of addressing issues. Unfortunately, that the old committees have allowed 17 years to pass before they answer. But we would like to promise that we will try to address all issues, as I said, which were not addressed by the previous board. We'll come back to you. I think the chief executive and people in the management, they don't want to go wrong. I think they've learned from the previous experience. But once you make a wrong, give wrong figures, they can get into trouble. So I think we respond in writing to the questions which we didn't respond to, which means this so that the committee can get the necessary information. Different interests and conflict of interest. We as the board come from different backgrounds, we come from business, we come from employment. And we all have different situations in life, but we've been appointed to the board on the basis of the shareholders having considered our CVs, and in our CVs we indicate what we do beyond being on the board, and we are convinced that the shareholder was actually satisfied. That with whatever we are doing outside this thing, there is no direct conflict of it. Secondly, is that Chairperson, it is a procedure in AMSCO to distribute the agenda of meetings. And at the beginning of meetings, there is a requirement that people must therefore declare any possibilities of conflict of interest. And that we do regularly in almost religion. That we should know that people, on any agenda item, there is no conflict of interest problem. And I can assure you that if we look at the meetings of both the management board and the board of directors, that aspect is featured high in the agenda of declaring conflict. I do not want to believe that this August committee wants individual members here to state which companies they belong to. I think there is a proper procedure set up in the law how that it should be. Short list of people who are sitting in the chairperson, I think it would be very unethical of us. We do have people who have been shortlisted, and the reasons why they were shortlisted, and they were not informed that they were shortlisted for obvious reasons. And I think it would be unethical of us to now inform them through the process of Parliament. We would like you to have confidence in us that the people who have been shortlisted were shortlisted with reasons which were given, and they were all evaluated, and it's on the basis of that evaluation that we are going to make a decision. And I want to assure you that the board will apply its mind and actually come to a decision. If it does come after the decision of the board and the people have been informed who has got the job, who has not got the job, we are ready to come back to you to answer that question and the reasons why we decided on those candidates. I would like to plead with the board not to pressurize us to do something which might be very unethical in the terms of appointment. The application process that we have to there, indeed the AMCOM is an acquisition authority for the Department of Defense and other clients. There is a process. AMCOM doesn't originate the requirement. The requirements are originated by the client, and AMCOM only works on those requirements which have been given. And we from time to time get these requirements and we consider them. We cannot off the cuff tell you here which requirements have originated from the department, but they are quite numerous. From acquisition, maintenance, and disposal, the whole life cycle of equipment. So these are requirements which are really broad, and we, if it's required of us from time to time to report to you on particular acquisition, we will definitely do so. Chairperson, I'm not sure whether I have properly, but acquisition takes place according to the law. And the law specifies this process. And we therefore follow them to the last. And we do not believe so. And the Parliament is not necessarily written into that process. But Parliament has the authority we account to, has the right to review whatever we are doing. And we are very ready to, there are issues which Parliament thinks we are not doing properly, we are ready to come back and mention those. And if there are such issues, we will be ready to engage with the committee on this type of issue. Acquisition of the VIP aircraft. I think I've said, AMCO only responds to requirements of the present moment, I'm not sure that the acquisition of the VIP project the board. I've not seen it. It is not on the schedule for the next meeting. So it's something which I think it can be referred back to the department. It has not yet reached a requirement which we should respond to. So I think it's something which is still coming. Chairperson is not answering. I was saying that the requirements are still somewhere in the process, and when it does come to AMCO, we will consider it according to the procedure set, and we will definitely not cut corners as we do not. Maintenance of equipment. I think the chief executive will say that, but suffice it to say that it is indeed part of the responsibility of AMCO to deal with the purchase of maintenance. It is within that whole process of the life cycle management of equipment. And we do that. I'm sure the chief executive will get to that. Strategic facilities, indeed. One of the strategic facilities is the dockyard, the strategic facilities we share. The test ranges are strategic facilities. And in terms of the law, AMCO must maintain all those facilities which it considers that they are not commercially viable to be a private business. And so we maintain those type of things. And we have those as given on the chief executive can have. Litigation, the problem with litigation is that it doesn't totally depend on it. The person who approaches the court can actually hold you for a long, long time on case, on the case, and we actually have to start this issue of whether there are other mechanisms where we can compare with this plaintiff to go to court rather than put them in our mission. But there is something which we are told the senior DA, postponing senior DA, that can go to court, and that puts you there hanging. That for a long time, waiting for their opportunity. This is Texas. When people go into new cases, they normally don't rush to court. So this is the reason why we still have cases like the one we are referring to, which is come from the 80s. And we are still waiting for the view of the court in the particular country. I'm not sure whether I got the slant of it, but if the question is what we consider to fail, what we consider in order for a country to qualify to that one. And one of the things AMCO is actually required by law to do is actually to consider all the international agreements and protocols, international protocols when we actually authorize the selling of workers. But members will know that the final arbiter in this respect is not ourselves, which has got the final legal authority to authorize. And we only make our view known to the committee, and then the committee will make a final decision. I hope that this answers the question. If there's no specific country beforehand, which we have listed as countries which we sell weapons to, the countries which we are not going to sell weapons to are sometimes referred to from a political level. Foreign Affairs is the role there in that. They will actually give us an indication, and they also participate in the MACC in order to make that view known. So if there are no, AMCO doesn't actually have a register of countries which are we are not supposed to sell it to. Equipment not meeting standards, and when hopefully a chief of the defense force noted the question, then they will answer to that, because we might actually be answering the wrong question or giving the wrong answer. But we want to believe that once the equipment which AMCO needs to take care of their research for AMCO, and AMCO will take the necessary action for us to make sure that the equipment is properly taken. I'm not sure why you're not advertising and which paper, why you choose the wrong paper to advertise the police. So I'll have the people ready to answer that question. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and then we'll go to the committee.
To name all the newspapers, you know, of them, but just from
of the Carpenter prefer to use national newspapers at the same time and other national newspapers as well. I'm not sure why they're not going to be visible, but I will tell you that we do understand the message. We will not take it to have to be the more at all. The other question was also the question of the 5% of our cost breakdown composed of payments of this amount. So the members would realize that our core function is to the rendering service to all the produce service. So a service oriented organization, we rely on the core business. Because of the nature of our business, the capacity to raise own funds. As I indicated earlier on, that with the different strategic facilities that I have, such as the test and evaluation, just to name a few for the test, the Alcan Pan that was quoted, the project NIC, which is involved in the chemicals and biological test, the hazmat that is used for the mask, and the hazards, such as the Girotech, where they testing the bag. The primary aim of those facilities, specific facilities, was to render service to the GHC. But now, you find that because of the nature of our project work, you find that the project point, you find that there's not much that is being done on the project in terms of the facilities that we utilize for commercialization and realize that fund. That's the only vehicle that we use in terms of utilizing. I indicated also that if you look at facilities such as the IMT that is doing test and evaluation, we find a similar situation. All those that are grouped under that division right here on I said is armed for defense, but I didn't know the search test and evaluation. This is the area where we find that it depends on the available capacity. Not an amount that one is paying. It tends to be that one in terms of the gap that we're talking about. The relationship with the companies, the local and international, I think that is for the check as you see the company. And then, the chair has dealt with the issue of the relationship with us and that. Cost has been not contributing to Chair, when we were referring to cost, we were very mindful of what are the critical requirements of the organization in terms of ensuring that we deliver our mandate. Looking at cost is not by training, by not training people and also by not appointing. We're looking at cost savings in other areas where you improve efficiency to realize savings, such as doing things better, so that now you will be safe on the process of other, so not appointing or not training, which is critical for the organization. I think the issue of the airbus in terms of the amount was requested by the member of parliament. The chair is there to think that I wouldn't be in a position to give a figure for our hand. I think that would depend on the budget because that is depending on the period in terms of the interest that has been at what rate of interest that is going to be charged. But suffice to say that if you look at the termination, just to indicate the termination was in November 2009. And in terms of the contract, the requirement is that Airbus should have paid us within 60 days of termination, which is stipulated in the contract.
that 50 days is the one that puts us at that puts us in January 2010. And from 2010, we have been engaging EBAS in several ways. A number of letters have been written to EBAS demanding that they care. Some of the things that were raised by the members in terms of we make them aware that they don't care sometimes they're going to be in EBAS. Yes, that those letters were written and they were made aware. The hard issue of EBAS is because it means I think that
it's a point of order and a proposal. You see, the notice was saying from 8 o'clock to half past 9. That is what the notice has said. And it's now almost half past 10. Now, my proposal, Chair, is that it is true that there is a lot of things, answers, and questions. About the Airbus and so on and so on, and transformation. My proposal will be let us stop the meeting now, and then we get you put another meeting, even if it is during recess, for us to come back and get the other outstanding questions. Because you see the other problem, Chair, I am also going, some of us are going to the memorial service of Kadar. And I did this time. And I'm interested in participating in this thing. That is my proposal. We postpone the meeting for later so that we can get outstanding
Honorable,
it's another point of order. I have a counter proposal that we continue with the meeting and the Honorable Green, if he feels that he can no longer stay, leaves.
Honorable members, we mark the meeting to end at 9:30. Honorable Green. So all we can do is to try to talk to our guests. Continue, and hopefully this is the last set of questions that we have taken, and then probably within the next few minutes, and we just give also hand over to the tech there and chief to make their comments about the presentation, and then from there we have to so Honorable Bloom, my apologies. You are correct that we have approved and my apologies about it. Can we round off? Are we agreed on that? Pardon?
What are we agreeing to?
Now we agree that they will finalize the presentation.
And then members will have an opportunity to ask follow-ups to unanswered questions.
We have said we're taking the last round of questions, Mr. Nier.
Chair, the unanswered questions, of course, and I'd like to ask three follow-up questions.
There are questions which have not been answered. You asked the question of the threat by the French on the the French company. And then you ask about the schedule of payment, and then you ask about the amount owed. How do we do that?
Chair, the questions that I would like to ask a follow-up relate to, once again, the amount owing by Airbus. The interest payment must be known, and therefore it must be possible to estimate the amount owing, even if it may not be possible to calculate it to the cent as of today. I would accept that. But second of all, the chairperson responded very carefully to my question about business interest and said that, and used the term direct. My question is, does the chairperson have business interests, and do those business interests link directly or indirectly to the acquisition and procurement processes of the corporation? That's a simple question. And then finally, Chair, on the question of the acquisition of the VIP jet, at least on the response from the chairperson, it seems to suggest, and I would like the chairperson to confirm this, that Arms Corp plays or played no role in the acquisition, in the supply or the leasing of these jets. If that is true, that is cause for concern. Arms Corp are the an acquisition agency.
Okay.
They are specialists in acquisition.
Okay.
And it would suggest that we are purchasing 800 million rand worth of aircraft, and it is being done outside Arms Corp. That should be cause for concern.
Yeah, the last question can be disregarded because that issue is not yet before the court. So we haven't as yet received any correspondence from the ministry or from the department, or even from the presidency or the procurement of the future. That information is not with you yet. Some answer that question. Honorable members, please. Can we give Mr. Mkonazi the chance to finalize the presentation? Please. Thank you. Can go ahead, Mr. Mkonazi.
I'll deal with the issue of what are the sites in Zambahan. Earlier on, I just mentioned some of them. For instance, we do research for the army, we do research for the navy, for the navy, for the IMC, which is our assignment somewhere, we do a number of research for the navy. And also, you find that we also do research in terms of the army, the outcome part of the research for the navy. Also, we do research work in the government of high education from on the left. Quite a number of other facilities that we do research for. And also, I'm sure to do research work in as far as the technology that is required by the SNPF. You'll find that we manage those technologies in terms of professions. So some of them will be lying with us, AMSO. Some of them will be lying also with the division of CSIR, the DSF, that is doing some research work. Some may find that it's lying in the industrial research and the NERM, where the research work that is done jointly by AMCO and in terms of the terminal, that's one of the equipment that the SS is disposed equipment. We follow all the requirements of the AMCO control and also the final saying that some of the I think we were talking to the other one that I wanted also to touch on share, the other one that the one that was raised in terms of government. The chair is right to say that when we deal with programs, so many of such programs, it's very difficult with a thought like that to have the visibility of policy, such as the one that was asked to the CIHJ. We find that already with armed programs at the earlier stages, where at the lowest level, where the requirement is just given to AMCO. And then the AMCO will have to deal with following the normal process right up to the point when it has to be approved by the board. And that's when the board has the visibility of that.
So I answer, I'm saying that if you look at the number of programs that we're doing, you'll find that the requirement that we give to ARMS Corps at the lowest level of the program manager, where we're receiving a 30 million letter and dealing with that requirement. So I will not say that honorable members, I think we should thank the board for taking time to make it to the decision tonight. And we appreciate the fact that you came in our good board and the apologies from other board members will not be able to have. I'm not sure if General Shoto and the secretary spoke to whether.
Thank you very much for putting our presence here in this meeting today and giving me this presentation. I have done so we engage further with them and the progress.
You see, my question was not properly answered by the board, but I accept that the time is gone. The question on peacekeeping, the involvement on that, I'm hearing this also, but this question, but it's fine. I hope I will get answered. I'll ask the question. Well, obviously, no, because it's linked to the maintenance work that they do with properties, and it also links to the condition of the peacekeeping forces that are out there and the necessary support and the cost that is involved in that. Thank you, Chair. So, but I'm leaving it that there's no time, Chair, etc.
Honorable members of the board. Mr. Nanir, honorable, can you put down my hand? Honorable members of the board. All of us should be mindful of the frame of time. But at the same time, we would be expecting to engage with council. And honorable members do understand that the board is known, the chapter is not the board is known. But nevertheless, immediately after the 14th July workshop, strategic planning session, most of the members of the board will be increased in the number of issues. And then we are going to be calling again to make the presentation. For now, we are not going to take any questions. Let me just say to most in particular, honorable members, that I used to play football with General Shaw in the township of Tiku. We call together. And with Raval, I don't know if I should say Mr. Jim, but we used to call him Raval. So he's one of the gentlemen who was able to picture the generation of young people. Oh, okay. Thank you very much for giving this meeting is adjourned. It's adjourned.
Thank you. I'd just like you to take note of the fact that three of my questions were not asked satisfactorily, and I would think that would be a concern to you.
We have already said the honorable Bush's question has not been answered as well. And as a number of other questions.
Can you help me out with names of people here? Okay. that's easier to face it with the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's
not
the same.